Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, as always, and today I'm joined by Steph, who is proud mama to Echo. Hi, Steph.
Hey, everyone. How's it going, Kat? Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's going good. It's another good day. Summer is coming, so I literally can't complain. Just love the sunshine. How are you doing?
Yes, I love the sun rays on my face as well. It's just much needed, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But it was actually really muggy this morning when I got up. So I'm happy that it's come out again this afternoon. Okay, so today me and Steph are going to be chatting about how when Steph learned about pet food, it prompted her journey with Echo into raw feeding and changed their whole mindset. So first things first, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Echo and yourself, obviously.
Well, no one wants to hear about me. My name's Steph and that's enough. We all want to hear about Echo. That's the star of the show. So Echo is a Labrador. She's 4 years old. We got her from a friend of ours who bred his Labrador. And we just had to have one of the puppies. We just couldn't help ourselves. But we were still in renting accommodation, so we couldn't actually have pets. So we actually moved house.
Okay, yeah.
And we got Echo at 9 weeks old. We literally moved house on the Friday and we got Echo on the Saturday.
Wow, that's amazing. And is that just so you could get Echo?
Pretty much. We always wanted a dog. Like, we both knew that we wanted a dog, but yeah, the timing was just perfect.
Oh yeah, because it's like new house, new sat, new pupper as well, so new beginnings. Yeah. Isn't it? Apart from, you know, if you've got a 9-week-old puppy rummaging around in loads of boxes, I can imagine that was fun.
Well, I mean, we were lucky. We kept her in the kitchen and all the boxes were elsewhere. We were lucky that we could put the baby gate on the kitchen. So pretty much like the house was empty when we moved in, right? So it was like, do go nuts.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I suppose that is good because then she kind of gets used to everything as it gets put out anyway. So wow, amazing. Okay. So what does your natural journey look like and how did it start for you?
Well, we started at the beginning of this year. January was when we switched to raw feeding. Otherwise, we'd fed kibble and wet food for pretty much our entire life up until this year. In September of last year, Echo got diagnosed with a lipoma, which is just a fatty lump tissue, benign.
Yeah.
But it was still quite concerning to get such a lump at such a young age was what we thought.
And so lumps lumps are quite unnerving anyway, aren't they? I think as soon as you see or hear the word lump, you're like, you know.
100%. Yeah, literally. So we just kind of started to like just research a bit more. Like, raw was always something really distant away from us. We just kind of followed what everyone else did. Where we got Echo from, they fed kibble, so we fed kibble. We went to the pet shop, they sold kibble, we bought kibble. So we looked a bit more at the diet and we decided that enough was enough of what's on the back of all these labels, what they put in it. We did a deep dive research. It was the forever dog. Oh, so many rabbit holes, you know it.
Pick one rabbit hole.
I welcome it.
Some of them might be my fault.
I think you're leading the way and I'm just following. It's great, but also finding my own way as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different avenues to explore. And then we keep meeting or partying and coming and exploring. And
There is. It's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, it was the Forever Dog book, did you say?
The Forever Dog book blew my mind. Like, I always knew food was bad, processed food was bad. But for me, I think I needed the actual bit more factual stuff behind it too, like a bit more case studies. And it really just blew my mind, but about food and our general way of living as well. And I bought that book in...
Because it is... No, I was going to say, it is kind of one of those things where you are aware about it because you've heard things about it. But until you actually go that step further and read some of the evidence and actually start to actively look into it, you are still quite naive about the whole thing. Like, you know it exists, but in one way, ignorance is bliss, because when you just carry on as normal, you know, you don't worry about these kinds of things. But then when you have read the research, that's when you start thinking, oh, wait, no, now I need to change everything. And it's a lot of work, isn't it? And it's a lot to process, especially because that book just makes you want to throw everything away that you've got in your house.
What I wanted to do. Yeah, I had to keep reading it because it got to a point where I was just like, I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to eat anything. I don't want to.
Yeah. It's nuts, isn't it? I know. And if for anyone that's listening who doesn't know what the Forever Dog book is, it is a fantastic book which has been written by holistic and integrative veterinarian Dr. Karen Becker and Rodney Habib, who is a worldwide speaker on pet health. And these two together, they are just releasing another book as well, aren't they? The Forever Dog Life book, which is, you know, it's available for pre-order now and it looks absolutely fantastic. And it's a book just filled with evidence of like how to feed your dog and why processed food is bad and how to assess your dog food and, you know, the things that affect our dogs every day so you can try and help them live longer. And it is a really good tool, isn't it? Like, it gives you a lot of knowledge to be able to change things.
Yeah.
But it's not for the faint-hearted, like, you know, it is a rabbit hole in itself, isn't it?
You have to be open enough and open-minded enough to absorb it, I think, as well.
You do.
You have to already be on a food journey.
Yeah. Or at least curious to know more.
Yeah. A lot of it as well, like, some people would find it a bit too complicated, is what some people have told me. But if you just go through it, he does reiterate quite well, I found. And he's like, back in this chapter, da, da, da. And you're like, oh, yeah. So I thought it explained it quite well.
Yeah, it is. And it's laid out in a nice way as well. Mm. So it makes sense, doesn't it? It flows well.
Mm-hmm. There's nice little charts and stuff as well, like with the herbs and what they actually do, all the fruits, veg.
Yeah, it's good. So you were saying you actually bought that book. When did you buy that book?
Oh, I bought that book at Christmas and I read it within like 2 weeks. And like I don't read. It's one of my pet hates, if anything. But like that I just couldn't put down.
Yeah, I know it is. And I think that's how powerful it is. And especially because obviously now Echo had the diagnosis for the lipoma. Mm. Then did you do some independent research which kind of brought you to the conclusion that lipomas can be impacted by diet? Is that what prompted you to kind of look into pet food, or was it?
I think just generally everything's diet related, isn't it, in life? If there's an issue, it's usually a diet. So
pretty much
I think I just kind of naturally gravitated towards diet is the first thing we try and change for me personally. I won't go to the pharmacy first. I'd want to try and sort it through natural methods first. Our kind of like way.
Well, it's the thing to change, isn't it? And it's the most, well, in some ways, if you are switching to fresh food, it's kind of, there's less risk with it because it's not medicinal, although food is medicine, but it's not medicinal like a drug is medicinal. So it is a nice easy thing to try before you kind of get into the complicatedness of it. Sorry.
No, I can't remember what we're saying now.
Oh, I had a feeling we were gonna do that. It's me putting in. Okay, so where has this journey kind of taken you then? So Echo was diagnosed as a lipoma, and you got, you know, interested in learning more about how to help her naturally, and that looked at diet. So then you found the Forever Dog book and you read that within 2 weeks of Christmas. And then what happened then?
Well, actually, there was a bit before what I probably missed, was that in September I started doing Instagram.
Oh, right, okay.
That is actually what probably helped more than anything else as well, because that's why I've reached out to people such as yourself. Like,
yeah,
we wouldn't be here now if I hadn't have started an Instagram page for her as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a powerful tool, isn't it? Because then you can connect with everybody else who's as mad as a box of frogs about dogs, you know, yeah. Like we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely, because especially in my circle of friends, like most of them have kids, they don't have dogs. So when I tell people I'm doing raw, they're like, ooh, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah,
it's looked at as a bit fancy or a bit like,
you know, why are you doing that for the dog?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit, but...
Yeah, it is, but it's two different worlds, isn't it? I mean, I have dogs and I have kids. Well, I've got Esme, and then there's Freddie, who is older now, but so I can sit in a position and say that they are very much alike. Yeah. Like, you know, they are, in terms of looking after them. Kids are a whole other level. Like, believe me, compared to dogs. You think you've got, you know, you think, you know, you've got a lot to do when you've got a dog, but when you've got a kid, wow. But I think still, from a perspective point of view, there are still millions of people who just see dogs as dogs and would just think, you know, why are you doing that for the dog? But it is, and I think, you know, if you don't have a close group of friends that are dog obsessed, and their dog is their baby, and, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to put all my effort into looking after my dog because, you know, they're just amazing, then it's hard to kind of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know what I mean? It's hard to, I'm trying to say, I'm going to have to cut this bit out.
Sorry.
It's hard to... What is the word I'm looking for? Oh, no. Connect. I suppose connect is a word, isn't it?
Connect, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not surrounded by people who are as mad as mad about dogs as what you are, then it is hard to connect and kind of share those views and share those passions and, you know, help others and get help by others, because they just don't understand what's going on.
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So then... You were joined Instagram. So is that before or after the lipoma diagnosis?
It was around about the same time, actually.
Around about the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, I had a bit of time off work as well. So it was just kind of like, I want something to do. Like, everyone loves Echo, so the world needs to see her, really.
Yeah.
So I just started doing, like, silly videos, really, that amused me. That was the main
aim. Yeah, yeah. Well, then that's good. That's what you want. I mean, I think loads of people get caught up in this thing where Instagram is to please other people, but it should be enjoyable for you. It shouldn't be stressful.
It's mine.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of time put into that.
So was it reading the Forever Dog book that made you want to go straight into raw? Like, how did that happen?
That definitely gave me the kickstart, because then the 1st of January, we started raw. 1st of January, yeah. 2nd of January, we started raw. So
did you just, like, you finished the Forever Dog book, you basically... Right, and get some raw food. That's it. Is that what it's like?
pretty much. Like, it was the push that we needed. Like, it was always a thought that we wanted to do. But from the outside looking in, it just seemed far too complicated, or too much mess, or too much time, or too expensive.
Yeah.
The same old classic excuses that I hear now. And I kind of think, oh, well, I think we're too easy to judge from the outside until you come in and have a little look and start putting some prices together and start actually comparing stuff, because I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, massively. Yeah. Especially if you're feeding wet food. Like, there are some kibbles out there you can literally pay 12 quid for a massive bag, and you're never going to be able to compete with that. Not unless you basically just cook a meal full of carbs, which is what that kibble is anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not a like-for-like product, is it?
No, it's literally just like a just baked out carbs with a little bit of extra in there. But anyway, but if you are feeding wet food is so expensive now. Like, it's far more expensive than raw food. Even the stuff from the supermarkets is far more expensive than raw food. But I think because raw food is still alien to a lot of people, they just think, oh, it's far too expensive because it's fresh, and fresh food does usually cost more money when you're comparing it to processed stuff in the supermarket. Well, to make a meal, to actually make a meal from Whole Foods, it's going to be more expensive if you're following a recipe. But, like, the individual components are way cheaper. Like, cabbages and stuff are just super cheap, aren't they? But yeah, I think there is a bit of a it's sort of like a social conditioning to automatically assume that raw food is going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. But like you say, just do the research and then you'll be surprised.
I mean, it can be. There is ridiculous prices out there, but likewise, there's also ridiculous raw cheap too. Like, there's still a scale with any market you go into. There's always a scale that you have to choose what suits you.
Yeah, you do. Like, if you want to, you can literally find, I think, I can't remember what's the cheapest off the top of my head, but you can, I don't think, it's not quite a kilogram for a pound, but it's somewhere like you may be looking at, you can definitely get like 500 grams for maybe a pound of some of the cheap, you know, like a pound caught, like a pound monetary value. Then you, there are brands out there that can be as cheap as that, you know, if you get in some of the mincers. And obviously, you know, the budget mincers are still going to be better than the processed kibble. So
agreed.
It's a good way to start.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So then you started Raw on the 1st of January and you started, how did you go about starting that journey? Like, did you do a bit of research? Did you reach out to,
Yeah, so it was on Instagram, reaching out to people and then reaching out to like people who are either own raw food shops like Pooch Park. She was Helena is awesome. Like, yeah, I must have spoken to her like, I don't know, 3 times a day over Instagram, just asking for like a proper advice. But she was so sweet to take the time with me and to explain it, like, and with a no pressure sale to it either. Like, if I walk into a pet food shop, they're gonna tell me to buy their product. Like, Poochie Park, she was just telling me like about everything. And it's up to me to make the choice. And that was like the really refreshing thing to find.
Yeah, she is great, Helena. And Helena is trained in canine nutrition. She's got the qualifications, but she doesn't charge for the advice because she just wants to help people get onto fresh food. So if anyone is looking to kind of start fresh food and you just want some basic advice to get you started, to get a transition, look up Helena from Poochie Park and Poochie Pantry, and she's there for everybody. She's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So it's not just about talking to people who've just had their personal experience. It's talking about the trained people too, the people who actually know that what they're actually talking about from science. That's what I need.
Like, yeah, because that's when you get the reassurance as well, isn't it? You want to get a decent mix. You want to get people's personal experiences, because some people don't always have a positive experience with raw food. So it's good to hear both sides of the coin. And then you've got the people who work professionally within the field who can kind of answer the more complex questions that you might have that might be on your mind. So it's definitely a good thing to get a good mix of both. So I'm guessing you shop with Helena.
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Love it. So you started that in January. So you started on 80-10-10s, didn't you?
Correct. Yeah. Because that just seemed the easiest way to delve into it. Like, DIY seems so like whoa. I think Helena mentioned it once and I just totally went like, not like, don't, that's too much for my brain to cope with. Like, I don't know what, like, again, it's outside looking in is what I keep referring it to, because you don't know till you're in it. Like, you keep thinking it looks complicated because of the bowls you see and stuff online, but you know, just DIY mint, sorry, the 80-10-10 mincers were a perfect way to start, because I knew it gave me the confidence to know that I was giving her enough.
Yeah,
in the right proportions.
Yeah. So I do think they are a great way to kind of get settled in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I started on 80-10-10s. When I first started raw feeding, I basically, Paigey B, my right-hand woman from pet shop, she was the one, her and Hannah, my other friend Hannah I went to school with, I used to work with them at Paddling Paws in Pontefract Canine Hydrotherapy Center. And when I started working there, Betty and Boris were just puppies, and I went in and I was saying, you know, I'll feed them this food and I feed them pepperamis for snacks, and they were like, what, you feed them pepperamis for snacks? And I was like, yeah, you know, what's wrong with that? I had no idea, zero clue. And and they were like, you really need to stop doing that, like, right now you need to get them on raw food. And I was like, what are you on about, raw food? That was the first I've heard of it. So thank you ever so much, Paigey B and Hannah, for kind of introducing me to it. They are the ones to thank. But I essentially just got, it was Durham Animal Feeds that I started on. I just got a different selection of 80-10-10s, and I just basically just did that. But I remember feeling like like, really? I'm going to put this raw food in a bowl and give it to the dog? It made me feel like a bit icky to start with because I couldn't get my head around feeding it raw because obviously as humans, we're conditioned to cook the meat, well, most of the time. But I did 80-10-10s for a good few years as well. So, like, I don't knock it. But now that I do know what I know about DIY and I've been through, obviously, these situations with Barney and Boris and having to kind of dissect their diet, I would always advocate for DIY. But you did 80-10-10s for, in fact, you've been doing DIY now for, how long have you been doing DIY?
It was after I started the No Fuss Fresh course. That's what when I started my DIY. So yeah. Was that April, March?
I think it was, we started it in March. It was March the 1st when we started the program, and it was 6 weeks. So it was halfway through April. Oh, yeah. So you've been doing it since mid-April. So you've been doing it a month.
Well, no, because we did a DIY session halfway through, didn't we?
Yeah, and you got a bit ahead. You got a bit impatient, didn't you, and did one anyway.
a little bit.
Which is fantastic. You know, one of the main aims of the course is to improve your confidence in your own ability to be able to prepare the fresh food. So the fact that you actually, you know, had the guts to do it before we did the workshop and everything, it's just amazing. So, yeah. So you did 8 to 10 tens. But that worked, doesn't it? That works for to get you settled in.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Like, I would definitely do that as an intro again. If I knew nothing about it again, I would still do that step again because I think that's a really easy way. Because it can be overwhelming, so much information that I've just taken in as well at the beginning of the year. But because there's so much more still to take in, right? Yeah. Even just the No Fuss Fresh course with the DIY and the different aspects. Like, once you know, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. It's not like that.
It is a thing. And I think with, like, you have done, in the space of what? I mean, it's the 20th of May. So you haven't even done 5 months yet. You've done like 4.5 months. In the space of 4.5 months, you have literally done what most people would do in like, what, 3 to 4 years? Like, you know, a lot of people maybe start with tripe for ages. Some people just love starting on tripe. And then they'll kind of like introduce the proteins one at a time. But you've literally like read the book, got the raw food, done 80-10-10s, started hearing about this DIY biz halfway through, you know, for a couple of months, thought, maybe what's that? And then just gone straight in for it as well. But now, so how are you finding the DIY?
Yeah, the DIY is cool. It's all about trying to take a bit more control back of what we're eating.
Yeah.
So I found with some of the 80-10 minces aren't necessarily what they might seem. Again, by doing a bit more research into it. We decided, you know what, I could kind of almost make my own 80-10-10 mints, essentially, is what I'm going to do.
definitely. Yeah, so that's the beauty of DIY, isn't it? You can dissect the bowl and control every aspect of it.
Yeah,
and that's good. And the No Fuss Fresh was, I've changed loads of it since you guys did it, so I'm super excited for you to see it again, but... I'm glad that it definitely helped to kind of improve that confidence, because now, could you ever see yourself going back to the mincers?
Only if I forgot to do the DIY.
Yeah.
Which we have done.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to have some, isn't it?
That's what I was about to say. Definitely. Yeah. Because actually, with my last order, I misjudged my days and I was like, I don't have food. But we had a couple of 80-10-10 minces in the freezer, so
yeah,
a good nice little backup. And I think, like you say, like I am actually still like super new to this, so it is also nice just to have that as a that's my backup.
Yeah, safety net. So if it does get a bit too much, then you can be like, okay, I'm going to back to minces for a bit because I just need easy for a bit. Yeah,
yeah, agreed, definitely.
Yeah, so. Your fantastic, although kind of fast-forwarded journey into raw and natural feeding, how has it changed your life?
Oh, yeah. So it's definitely impacted us. Like, so we always want to improve our health, right? But we found that we were always easier to make Echo's diet or Echo's life a bit better than ours, just as we naturally do as pet parents. But again, it's now about, why can't we improve everyone in the household, right? So if she's eating broccoli, we can eat broccoli. If, oh, you told me to get some celery. We don't like celery. We bought some. We put some in a stew. Like, it's all goodness, right? Like,
yeah.
We don't like pepper. We do ground peppercorns for Echo. We do a little bit for us. And so we're trying to do a lot more of both better living at the end of the day. Like, because we're in the same household, right? So we can all clean up our living. Yeah, definitely. We've certainly stepped away, not fully, but from processed foods, ultra processed foods, definitely. In fact, you know what I did this week? I usually have all the labels in my cupboards all facing forward. But that's not our food. I turn all the other way. And when you start looking at all them, look at all those stabilizers. Look at all those E numbers. Look at all these emulsifiers.
You've fallen in that rabbit hole.
Yeah, all my labels are now on the outside because that's what the ingredient is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, definitely. That's one of the things for me. Like, now I can't go into the supermarket and buy. I mean, every single thing I pick up, I'm scrutinizing the back of it. And it's annoying at times because sometimes I just think, I wish you could just go in and just buy, you know, just this. But now I'm just like so rigid with it. Like, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that.
We've got to put stuff back on the shelf. And I've definitely been doing that. And I think we've all just become almost a bit robotic, don't we? We pick up the item on the shelf, chuck it in the basket and go home, eat it. But
yeah.
Who's that? Is that convenience for us if we're consuming all that stuff over a long period of time?
Yeah, and it's building up and the toxins and the, you know, it's not really got much nutritional value. And yeah, no, I agree. I'm on the same page with that.
It's fake food with natural flavors, supposedly. So it's chemicals giving you the illusion of food. Well, no wonder we're not full. No wonder we're getting issues. It's just,
but until you actually take notice of it, you don't even think about it, do you? You know, it's like, this is the thing, like reading the book, until you actively pay attention, you just go about as normal, as if that's just, you know, and that's it. That is just what people do. That is it. It's like, I saw a post today that said 92% of the supermarket didn't exist 100 years ago. Neither did 92% of the diseases that we get today. And I was like, it makes complete sense. Like, you know,
everything's like,
like back then you literally had ingredients and if you wanted something, you had to make it. Whereas now you can go out and pretty much buy whatever you want. And then what's happened over time is that they've found ways to make it cheaper and bulk it out. So these companies make more money at the expense of everybody else. And because they've found ways to make things taste exactly the same as, you know, what they would do naturally. That's how they like get away with it. But if you do start making your own condiments and things like that at home, and the consistencies are completely different. Like, I make homemade mint sauce, and it is nothing like mint sauce what you buy from the supermarket. It is divine, but it's nothing like what you buy in the supermarket. The consistency is not anywhere. You know, it's runny, it's got big chunks of mint in it, you know. It's just it's so much nicer as well when you make it yourself. But it does take additional time, and
of course, and it's not an all or nothing thing as well. Like, we've been slowly making these little changes, you know what I mean? Like, we're making more of our own cookies now, for example, because I looked at the back of a packet and then I thought, well, cause in this cookies, my four ingredients and the other 10 ingredients that were in this one, and I went, huh, well, this tastes nicer too, right? So why?
Yeah,
and it's not even that cheap anymore of all the sweet stuff and everything. Like, it's really not.
It's because of the sugar tax, isn't it? Like, because obesity is such a big problem, they put more tax on sugary foods, which is why it's so expensive. I've gone into the trap now of chocolate, because we started, like what you're doing now, we started just slowly getting rid of processed foods, because at one point before we moved here, we used to still eat like takeaways every week, and I didn't really cook from scratch. I cooked from scratch, but what I thought was from scratch, like I cooked with meat and vegetables, but I would probably use like a sauce out of a jar rather than doing it all, you know, from the spices and herbs, and, you know, using broth and things like that. But then slowly over the past few years, we've kind of like just, I've got more and more obsessed with everything and started making it, and we've reduced processed foods. But now my thing is chocolate. Like, I used to love Cadbury's caramel, and it's only this year that, well, I was in the supermarket and I was reading the back of it and I was like, oh, I stood there for like 10 minutes looking at this bar of chocolate, like, I really want it, but it's just no good for me. So I was thinking, how am I going to be able to make this at home? Yeah. So that is...
Did you find a way?
Well, I haven't found a way to make Cadbury's caramel, unfortunately, but I have sort of been messing about with chocolate. Like I made these little things the other day, and it's literally just coconut oil, organic cocoa powder, which is like, I think it's 90% cocoa, and then a little bit of vanilla and some raw honey, and you just kind of like melt it all down and mix it together and pop it in molds and put it in the freezer. And it is like dark chocolate, and it's like that coconut chocolate. It'd be surprisingly really nice. So, but that's obviously a healthier alternative to what you find on the shelves. But it's kind of like that thing where sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, where you just want a piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
But then you look at the organic chocolate, and you're looking at like £3 a bar for 90 grams. And because I was like, right, I can get this bar of Cadbury's, which is, you know, it's beautiful. I know that I love it. And it's like, I think even that's expensive now, though. Like, it's 180 grams for like £2 or £1.80 when it's on offer. Or I can get the organic stuff, which is dark chocolate. And that's like £3 a bar for like 90 grams. And I just can't bring myself to pay it. Can't do it. It's just too expensive. Not at the rate that I eat chocolate, you know. Like, if I could commit to just one square a day, then maybe I could justify it. But that's if no I point. Eat chocolate, no, I want the bar. I want the bar of chocolate.
Who has just one square?
I know. This is it. It's like when they say dark chocolate is good for you if you have one square a day. It's like, who actually eats just one square a day? But this is why I like to bake cakes on the weekend, because like I've just got so obsessed with even chocolate now. Like, it's just one of those things. It's so annoying at times. But no, that's good. I think it is a positive thing to be able to improve your diet because of your dogs. And I definitely improved our diet because of what I learned from looking at dog nutrition, because turning to dog nutrition and looking at dog nutrition, basically it's mirrored in the human world. Even though they're different types of food, it's definitely mirrored, and there's definitely still, you know, a big problem going on. So it kind of just all mingles into one. And I think, like you say, you share in celery with Echo. Why not? You've already got it. You know, that's it. Yeah. You put it in a stew. You can't even taste it in a stew, can you? Isn't it magnificent when you don't even know it's there?
No, didn't know.
No, and I was surprised when I first did it. It's the same with, celeriac, which is obviously, it does taste and smell like celery. And also fennel. Fennel's nice in a stew. Mm-hmm. Fennel's quite strong smelling, you know, when you're cutting it up, because it's like aniseed-ish. No, I don't like that. I don't like aniseed. But when you put it in a stew, can't tell. It's lovely.
Okay.
So, you have to try it.
We'll see. Although you advised me well on the celery, so I do trust you.
Yeah, it's good. That's what I was going to say. That's one of the things I want to try and achieve with the Superfood Sunday that I've just started on Instagram as well. Like, this Sunday we made sauerkraut, which is for you and your dog. It's not just for dogs. So every week I'm going to do something which you can make at home, which is going to be whole foods, you know, make from scratch, fermented foods, I don't know, stuff for digestion, which is going to be what we can share with our dogs, so people don't feel like they're going out and just buying all this stuff for the dog, even though lots of people don't mind doing that. Like, loads of people love just going out and buying it for the dog, but you can both benefit from it. So it is one of the most wonderful things that you get from the journey.
Definitely. And we know that also, that sometimes they just mark up the price for dog products. Like,
oh gosh, yeah.
Like, we just ordered like a whole bunch of food from a whole food shop. So we just bought spirulina, chlorella, alfalfa seeds, like, just human. It's human grade. It doesn't need to be dog grade.
No, it's just dog grade is human grade. I know. And a lot of the raw food is like, a lot of the raw food does say not fit for human consumption, but that's to do with like the way that it's processed. It's not necessarily that it's a lower quality meat. I don't know if some of it is. I don't know enough about processing, but Like, it is literally just all food, basically. And there's no reason why dogs should get any lesser quality food or any higher quality food. The only reason why dogs should be different is if it contains ingredients like onions, which dogs can't have. But like you say, it's one of my bugbears is the fact that people just bag up supplements and put a dog on the front and charge like twice as much for it, because they're exploiting pet parents' anxieties like they are, because people think, well, I can't give them that because it's not got a dog on the label. And it's like, yeah, but it's 100% spirulina. You can. And it's not their fault, because they're just doing, they think this is the safest option because it's got a dog on it, and I'm scared I'm going to hurt my dog, so I'm going to go with the safest option. But yeah, I mean,
this is why I think it's important to, for us to take control personally. I think we're so used to marketing and advertisement. Here, take this 3 times a day, every day. Mm. Oh, no, hold on. If I take everything 3 times a day, every day, I can't take that every day, can I? So let me choose what I'm going to pick and why. And that's crucial too. Why? I hear so many that this supplement, that supplement, this supplement. And I didn't want to get bamboozled by the supplements as well. I didn't want to come off the kibble and wet and just jump into the next marketing thing. Do you see what, does that make sense?
That makes sense. No, definitely. Because it is, I mean, you've heard of supplement graveyards. Loads of people have got supplement graveyards where they've got all these supplements. They don't really know what they're doing. They don't know if they're right for the dog. And it's not their fault. It's because supplement companies basically make them think their dog is going to be less healthy if they don't feed this supplement, which half of the time you can get it from food, which is another annoying thing. Don't get, well, you know how I feel about supplements because we've done it all in the no.
And you know how I feel.
But a supplement is basically just something you add to a meal that's going to enhance or complete it. So essentially, that is things like blueberries, spinach, you know, alfalfa, chamomile. It doesn't have to be a pill that's in a little tub that says supplement on the front. It doesn't have to be that at all. But I was going to say something else then, but I completely forgot. It was about supplements as well. I don't know. Can't remember. I don't know. It's gone. I'll let you go.
Oh no.
Oh, it must have been something to do. I'm gonna have to do a bit of editing to this episode. Oh. It must have been something to do with
pet food supplements.
Grade. I think it was
human grade marketing.
Might have been marketing. I don't know. It's gone. Ah well. Okay, we'll move on. So what have been, if any, the downfalls or struggles that you've experienced on your journey?
I would say it's about getting Echo to slow down her food.
Slow down eating.
Yeah. But what I mean specifically with the raw meaty bones.
Yeah.
That can be a little scary as an owner with a dog that does one chew of a chicken neck and swallows it.
Is she got any better, or is she still like it?
You saw, I think I showed you one of the first videos, and that was a bit crazy. She's still a bit crazy.
Yeah.
She's certainly getting better.
Yeah.
But she's just so excited. It's just really yummy food for her. She can't help it.
Just so excited. I mean, she's a lab, isn't she? So she's going to be excited about food anyway, but she does love it, doesn't she? Bless her.
She's every food, every, you know, again, Labrador. So that's been a great help, really, that I haven't really had to worry too much about what I'm buying because I know that she'll eat it.
That is a good thing, because some dogs are picky, and sometimes when you transition them over to raw, then you give them a raw piece of organ and they're like, what? What's that? They do come round though after a few days, but it can be a consistency thing. So is that the only downfall or struggle that you think that you've had along the way from since the start of January to now?
I mean, we've had a few dodgy poos and a few sicknesses along the way, but I've always had faith in what I've learned, and I know that it's right. It's just the fact that I haven't been able to implement it right at that time, or
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a numerous of factors. We've had this discussion as well, where we're trying to identify an issue and we're looking at it could be another 10 different things. But she's adapted really well, really. Just, it's just about, as long as you know what you believe in. I knew it was right. It was just, about adapting it and finding the right thing for her. But the past 2 weeks, past three meals, Pooh's have been great.
Yeah.
They've been the best we've had. And that's really good. Like, that we're still making that progression, like in, I don't know, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks?
Yeah, it's amazing though, because like this is how you learn everything about your dog as an individual, isn't it? Because because before when you were feeding the Minces, Echo's poos were a little bit crumbly, weren't they? Like a little bit too crumbly for what you'd like, which was one of the problems that you had with the Minces. And then obviously the DIY, it kind of went the other way, where stools went a little bit softer than normal, but depending on how you then tweak the diet and change the different ratios of the different muscle meats, you can really fine tune what your dog needs and is going to be able to tolerate, so that you know. Well, it takes a few weeks, obviously, like we've seen, haven't we? But then when you get there, you've got all this information. So if you are looking for, if you do want to move back to completes or whatever for a certain amount of time, you'll be able to say, well, actually, that's not going to be suitable because it's got this, this, and this in, and she doesn't tolerate that. You're actually going to know absolutely everything about how her system works and what she can have. So that is just one of the, it's the most amazing thing about DIY for me, is that even though in the beginning, if you've got a dog where you transition, because sometimes when you transition from the Minces to the DIY, you do have the same kind of side effects, a few loose stools, a little bit of sickness, maybe one or two days. And that's just because it's a different type of consistency of food, different ratios, and that's normal. But that's just, you know, it's one of those things where you really can see exactly how the food impacts your dog by every little finer detail. And I think that's just so amazing, because then at the end of it, like I say, you're just going to have this diet that every time you give it to your dog, it's just going to be so beneficial. And that's just truly outstanding, if you ask me.
Yeah, like it.
We love DIY. Oh, dearie me. Right, okay. You can tell it's been a long day, can't you? So what's the best thing about your natural journey?
Best thing. Just the fact that I've actually finally woken up, I think, to what's actually around us. Like, it really has been a big light bulb moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this will be a great long-term thing for us. And I'm excited about what's to come, really. Because we, like you say, we've done so much in so little time.
You have.
Interesting to know what the next few months will
what's
be like.
What's around the corner? I'll let you know. Oh, dearie me. I think that's great, because for you to actually, for that to be the best thing, is that's just, it just shows that you are happy with the path that you've chosen, which is something that you do need to be confident about when you are making these decisions, because it is a big decision. It is a big decision to, number one, change your dog's whole diet to a fresh food diet, and then it's a big decision again to change it to DIY, because then you are taking full responsibility of your dog's diet, and that is one of the things that scares the hell out of people when they're thinking about doing it. And that's probably what puts you off doing it when you first start raw, because you think, whoa, you know, just let me get used to the raw bit first. And then, so is there anything you would say to other pet parents who may be either sitting on the fence about going natural with fresh feeding, or, you know, that are struggling right now? What would you say to them?
I would give Helena a call, honestly. Like, she certainly just helped me go, the confidence to go forward. Like, seriously, like, she really did. Like, I knew it was right, but it was just without someone saying, just go. Just do it. Like, and if just it doesn't work, then go back. It's not the, you know.
It's not like you're signing your life. It's not like you're getting married to it, is it? You know, you can go back if you really want to. But if you try it for 2 weeks to a month, you won't want to go back.
No, I if you tr- if you truly read it and truly see how bad some things are and how good this can be, it's a no-brainer. I'm sorry, it really is. Like, I know everyone can make their own choices and that's absolutely fine too, but for me it was a no-brainer, like especially after that book, because dogs were living longer and now they're getting more and more human illnesses. It's not right.
The
choices we make to give them, it may not be our fault because of the marketing, I get it, but we're still making those choices and they don't have, they can't make those choices.
No, they can't. They basically do whatever we give them, whatever we say. You know, we define their whole life and we define it from a human perspective. We want everything to be convenient for us, not for them. We want, you know, their exercise routine to be fitting in around us, not for them. And, you know, they basically, unless we actively make more of an effort to take them out and do things with them, they literally, we go about our day where we've got 10 different things going off in one day. We go to millions of different places. We see loads of different people. They're just sat at home waiting for us to do that one thing that they want, that one walk that they get. So they don't have any agency in their life now, and this is it. And diet, especially when you see how much they love fresh food. And if you're not into raw, then cooked, like dogs love cooked food.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they absolutely do. That's why they're begging it off you all the time. And it's just for them to enjoy it, that just gives them another something to help make their lives complete, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was it with us as well, because, you know, for us with Echo, for a dog that loves food that much, that's such a shame to give her not good stuff, right? Like, she deserves, I can't afford the best necessarily, but I can certainly afford, well, actually, it's just the same, to be honest. Yeah. Our pricing hasn't really changed that much since we've switched.
Yeah. And I think I remember you saying that DIY worked out a little bit cheaper, didn't it, this time?
Oh, well, then the mince's 100%. The 80-10-10 mince's are way more expensive than the DIYs. And the DIYs, it's also lasted me longer in the freezer as well. I was doing a shop space-wise, I was doing it maybe every 3 weeks, but now I think we're on our fourth or fifth week, and just with the DIY stuff.
Oh, and so it has, your order value pretty much stayed the same when you're getting like a week or two more worth of food out of it?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's not a little saving. And that's what people have to do as well. I like data. I like science.
Yeah.
Show me.
Like your spreadsheets, don't you? You like?
Yeah. You've seen my spreadsheets. It just needs to be clear. I need to see it. And I'm like, okay, now I can roll. That makes sense.
Okay. Good. That's good. Fantastic. No, that's amazing. I am going to tag Helena. I'll tag Helena from Poochie Park in the show notes as well. So if anyone does want to give her a call, then absolutely be our guest. Fabulous. So if anyone wants to kind of like find you on Instagram and have a nice look at Echo and see how beautiful she is eating her raw food, or maybe reach out for some, you know, support with going fresh, where can they find you? What's your handle?
Yeah, you can find us at Echo Chops is our handle. And it used to be like lots more funny videos and photos, but now if you scroll back, it's those, and now it's just food. So you could probably see the difference in my journey from when I started and when I didn't start.
Yeah, because now you're just slightly obsessed, a bit like me, aren't you? Slightly obsessed with prep and the food. But it looks so nice. It's weird to say, but it does look so nice.
Oh, it looks delicious. Isn't it?
All the different colours, especially if you've got some gizzards in there, which are kind of like bright pink. And then you've got, I don't know, the chicken and the beef or venison. There's just so many different colours. It's just... Yeah. It's fantastic. We love it. Okay, well, thanks ever so much, Steph, for joining me and sharing your wonderful journey into fresh feeding. If anybody is interested in the No Plus Fresh course that Steph did with me, that is my program to basically teach you how to build DIY bowls for your dog. But it does look at so much more than that as well. Like, we cover loads of different aspects about lifestyle in general and fresh food and everything like that. So if you are thinking about DIY, just check it out. You can find the link on my Instagram. If it's not for you, that's fine. If you do want to reach out to Steph, Steph is more than happy to kind of, you know, give you some guidance or just a bit of support with the Aurora Natural journey if you want to. And of course, our good friend Helena, absolutely love her to pieces. She owns Poochie Park, which is a dog park in Sherburn and Elmet, and also Poochie Pantry, which is a raw food website where me and Steph both buy our raw food from. So I'll include everybody's links in the show notes, so you can have a direct access to those. And we hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for joining me, Steph. Say hi to Echo from me, and I hope that we get to catch up again soon.
Pleasure. Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun.
It has, hasn't it? It's been great. Ciao for now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian, and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.